mic's on, but are we recording? Is this?
Yeah, we're on. We're recording.
This is happening right now.
We're live and in charge.
Yeah, so I got blood taken from me this week.
Oh my God, Nick, are you okay?
I'm a huge baby when it comes to needles, and I had to go get some blood taken because, you know, it was time. I did it for you.
Yeah, well, you say you have blood taken. It makes it sound like someone robbed you of your blood.
From me, yeah.
Like someone stopped you in the street and said,
I don't like the idea of someone else having my blood. That's really, I'm not scared of needles. I'm very cheap with my blood. That's what it is, you know?
Precious commodity, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but all my levels came back. I'm clean. Yeah. I'm good to go.
You're healthy?
Yeah,
you ready to rock?
Yeah, I tested negative for all the drugs, even opiates, which is weird because I've been listening to opiate like 5 times a day.
Yeah, you just went and saw Tool.
Saw Tool. I've been listening to opiate like nonstop.
Crazy, that didn't show up in your
So it's weird that didn't show up in my blood. For like cannabis, it was like irregular, abnormal. Like,
yeah, super heady.
This dude's super
When the drug test came back under cannabis, it just says hosts a Simpsons podcast.
yeah called Heady Green Terrace.
Hey guys, we're here live from Heady Green spring break. We're out here on the beach, nothing but sun, good tunes, babes as far as the eye can see, and no parents.
Apparently.
Hey Nick, can you pass me that sunscreen?
Yeah, sure. Hang on 1 second. Let me use it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to get it all over. Man, the sun is beating down today.
Ultraviolet ray is bad. Lotion, good.
Yeah, I'm a pacifist. I don't promote ultraviolets.
Yeah, man.
Well, I'm glad your blood came back healthy. Are they going to give you back the blood that they borrowed to test? Are they going to put it back in there?
I should have asked.
I'll loan it to you guys.
Peeing in the cup is funny.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at stopping myself.
Yeah.
But some people say that they can't stop themselves from peeing. Like once they start peeing, it just comes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to work on that, dog. You know, I'm pretty good at it.
Well, like I work out. So, you know, down there.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong muscle down there.
Probably the place I'm toned the most. Honestly.
I've definitely worked that muscle out a few times.
So, yeah, if you can't stop, according to the internet, things I've read, if you're worried about cannabis showing up in your urine, it's not advised to catch the start or the end of the stream. You know, you should just toss the cup under in the middle and catch the most, like, hydrated part. More dense at the beginning and end, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Best purchase I've made in a long time. I bought this big thing of Gatorade powder. It makes 9 gallons of Gatorade.
Yeah.
So I've been using that to get hydrated. It's the Yellowade. And my goal every day is to get my pee to look like the yellow Gatorade. So far, I've been doing a pretty good job.
So you don't have to buy any more. You know, you just keep making it through yourself.
Maybe one of these days we'll like throw the rest of it in a cooler and dump it on the other one. Like
after we win the big game.
Yeah, after we win the big game.
We're going to make it to state this year, dude. I just know it.
Yeah. So that's interesting. The middle part of your pee has the least amount of weed in it.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to bring that up on my next date.
Yeah, or your next follow-up at the doctor.
Is it true that the middle of my pee has the least amount of weed?
Yeah, you're definitely high. They don't even have to check your urine if you ask that.
Man, it was so painful when they put the needle in. I was like, all right, this isn't going to be that big of a deal. You're just like making it a bigger deal than it needs to be. And then they put it in and I was like,
and then they take that and then they go back with the second vial that they have to fill and then the third.
Like, no, it's just like, I just like looked away just like, okay, hurry up.
Yeah, I don't got all day. I got places to be.
Yeah. Not very fun, but you know, I made it through. And the truth is, you know, you gotta look out for your personal health. Mm-hmm. And in the case of getting your blood taken, that's also public health for a guy like me, of course.
Yeah,
you know, my stature,
because you've shared so much of it.
Yeah, give me back my blood.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, it's
a lesson here is that life is precious.
it's just good to go get checked up. Make sure you're getting your checkups, your shots.
Get your physical, get your mental.
And don't be a douchebag. You know, it's not that hard.
Hey, you know, that's the thing. Being nice doesn't cost you any money.
Right. But anyway, we're talking about an interesting episode today. We are bringing this episode into the rotation because the topic of spring break. Spring is upon us.
Spring is in the air. Spring is, it's in the water too, man.
We just can't wait to get into the springy springiness of the spring and just spring it up.
And this episode has some incredible guests. I've got to say it.
Is it the most special guest of like any other episode?
Probably. It's honestly, out of everyone we've covered so far, probably the biggest name.
Yeah, like maybe they've had
Paul McCartney.
Maybe they've had like more people. I don't know. It's just like a very, it's all over the place, just these guests that they have.
So this is Heady Green Terrace. We're a podcast about The Simpsons and everything else. Each week on the show, we dive into an episode of The Simpsons, discuss why we love it and what makes it so great.
Yeah.
And anything else heady along the way, I suppose.
Yeah, you know, I like to think of this, you know, if you're on like a long car ride right now.
Yeah.
And you can't watch The Simpsons. You could just talk about it with your friends, Nick and Justin here. And if you're like me and you love The Simpsons, you've seen.
Or maybe you're like me and you love The Simpsons and you're also illiterate. So when you can't watch, you need something to listen to.
I've seen so many of these episodes so many times that sometimes just talking about it just brings back the memory and it's just like a really nice thing. And we'll crack open a few beers. We'll smoke a little weed. We'll just talk about The Simpsons. It'll I'm not drinking really this nice. Month. Actually,
Nick's doing a dry march.
Drarch. It's been really easy.
Yeah, you just hang out.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I got a little more energy and
dropping a few LBs, putting some money in your wallet.
Yeah, totally. Just keeping things chill. I've been not necessarily burning the candle at both ends, but just, you know.
Well, you said your New Year's resolution was to get more sleep.
Right.
And how do you feel this change has affected that?
I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling like, you know.
Do you have more dreams?
Do I have more dreams? Nah, I've already fulfilled my dream of having a Simpsons podcast. I don't think I have any more dreams beyond that.
Yeah, what more could you want?
Yeah, just.
I just closed my eyes and it's lights out, man.
I just said, you know, I'm going to. What's the most impossible thing I could do?
A backflip?
Yeah, probably. I would have to be drunk to attempt a backflip.
Yeah, I'm giving up backflips for Lent.
Yeah.
I'm not touching a backflip.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm giving up alcohol and chicks for Lent. Mm-hmm. No chicks. Sorry.
What?
Yeah, no, I've just been, I'm too busy, man. I'm learning all these Danny Carey parts. I don't have time to like learn Vicarious the Pot and Jambi and also pretend to be interested in whatever it is that you're talking
about.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, cool. You work at a company that demolishes houses that poor people live in. That's not, yeah, you know, whatever you do.
It's like, oh, okay. That's cool. But do you like listen to Fish or Tool or anything?
No, I only listen to EDM.
I had a really great date the other night. Things were going really well, and you know, I was about minute 20 of like my like 30 minute, like I kind of have like a pitch on my dates, and you know, it starts with me saying like, so we're gonna split this, right? And then
they love to hear that.
That's then I tell them that my mom helped me pick out my outfit.
Okay.
And then I talk about Fish for 15 minutes and Tool for 15 minutes, and then I talk about for another 15 minutes how both bands are very different yet very similar at the same time, you know.
And then after about 2 hours of that, you say, any questions?
Right. I thought I had her, and then, you know, I think we're going to go out again, but I don't know. She told me that, like, a bunch of her aunts, like, were on a bunch of different planes that all crashed, and she had to go, and I was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. I guess when I'm talking about Fish and Tool at the same time, it just kind of brings out that energy in the universe that I'm like, oh shit. Well, you know, so I think I'm pretty confident.
Yeah, there's going to be another date there for sure, dude. It just reminds you about the fragility of life, dude. At any moment, you know, your aunt's plane could be coming down. And
right.
If you have multiple aunts on multiple planes, what are the odds?
I know,
pretty
right?
Pretty slim, but you know what? The universe is wild.
I was like, that's really crazy, but let me tell you what was like really crazy was when...
Yeah, when Danny Carey played the part.
But yeah, you know, it's funny.
What's funny?
Well, you know, so...
I know. So you tell me what you. I know already, but go ahead and you can tell me.
You know, just the stark contrast and similarities between my two favorite bands,
Tool and Fish. All right.
Right. Well, they both. So Fish put out this song called Soul Planet about how we're all together on the Soul Planet. And then Tool puts out this song called Pneuma about how we're all just this one universe, this one breath. Mm-hmm. Technically, they're the same song and they put them out around the same time. And they've been out relatively around the same amount of time. I just think it's pretty interesting.
Wow. You know, musically, I wouldn't have put that together. But I'm glad, Nick, you know, you see to the true meaning of what it's all about.
One breath on the soul planet.
All right, dude, I just got a crazy mashup idea. Where's my DJ kit?
Anyway, we're going to stop talking about Fish and Tool. And,
you know, people wrote in after the... other episode, they're like, you guys talk about Tool for 10 minutes straight. Give us more of that, please.
What else do people want to hear more of? Please, if we're doing something that you like, let me know, because communication is good when it comes to these kinds of things. I want to know.
Hey, just because it's the two of us talking to a microphone and you listening doesn't mean it's a one-way conversation.
Yeah, like, feel free, give me a safe word.
You know, pretend there's a comment box.
Give me like a safe combination.
It's like, hey,
you know,
you wanna, how was your meal? You know, and you fill in the blank and you put it in the box.
Yeah. And also what I'd be interested in hearing too is what are you doing when you're listening to this podcast?
Yeah. Tweet at us at Heady Green Pod, # while I'm heady.
Well, what are you doing while you're heady? You working? You like, are you mowing the lawn?
Are you ignoring your kids?
Cooking a lasagna.
Eating a lasagna.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know,
parasailing, like, filing your taxes.
It's an interesting medium because I'm not really sure.
Maybe you're shoplifting right now.
Like, you could say, like, yeah, chances are you're driving right now, right? You're driving.
Or you're walking.
Right.
Or you're sitting on the train.
Right.
Or you're just getting ready in the morning. And you just want a little something to listen to as you go about starting your day.
And you just want to hear the smooth sounds of Justin Thompson.
And Nick Salgo.
Yeah.
Welcome to Heady Green Terrace. This has been Heady Green Terrace the whole time. But I now want to welcome you.
Yeah, welcome again. So, Kill the Alligator and Run.
Kill the Alligator.
It is the 19th episode of season 11. It is episode number 245 in the series altogether. It originally aired on April 30th, 2000. April 30th is my older brother's birthday. Happy birthday in like a couple of weeks, Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe. This episode was directed by Jen Kamerman and written by John Swartzwelder.
Yeah. The last episode we did was also written by John Swartzwelder.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. This episode features guest appearances by Robert Evans, Charlie Rose, Kid Rock, and Josie as themselves, with Diedrich Bader as the sheriff.
Again, we picked this episode for the
spring break element.
It's kind of got... It's not very well revered in the Simpsons universe. People have kind of put it kind of low on the list, saying that it's kind of one of the less good episodes.
It was a time ranked as the worst episode on nohomers.net. And I don't know. I don't think it's that bad.
No. You know, I remember when this episode first aired, watching it for the first time and feeling like it's like a little disjointed, a little... It's kind of going for things, but I think something kind of like I've been watching the whole series.
The whole time.
I've been jumping around lately I've been jumping around seasons, just kind of getting like a feel for each season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the universe keeps building on itself. And I'd say, you know, this is season 11. We're not really that far from peak golden. This is starting to move away from the peak golden era of The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's what people say, you know, the first 9, first 10, depending on who you ask. And so it's really interesting that this is considered one of the worst episodes. Right. And then there are some really good gems in season 11 as well.
Well, what I would say is I'd noticed, like, kind of in the teen years, the show kind of really developed, like, it got very set in, like, the, there's just something very, like, solid about the universe of The Simpsons. Like,
it's like,
you know,
it's very, it's like McDonald's at that point. You know, it's just this right. ubiquitous thing that they're just churning out, and you know what you're going to get, mm-hmm. and it's going to be, like, a baseline level of good.
And Homer, his tolerance for pain, mm-hmm. and just...
he becomes fully superhuman. You know, he's invincible.
And, you know, his character, pretty malleable. It's almost, like, random how Homer is going to react to something. You can usually... Like, he's usually a pretty good sport about just about everything. Yeah. He doesn't really get pissed off. Like, he kind of started off as, like, the angry dad kind of thing. But
right,
like,
and then they really found his voice.
He gets pissed off at Bart. But other than that, like, he's kind of innocently kind of like, oh, yeah? Like, oh, okay. You know.
There's this playfulness about him. He's usually joyful. And some would say at his heart, he knows that he's indestructible.
Right. I do like Homer's journey in this episode, how he kind of starts off really stressed out, then he like then he parties, he like lets his hair down.
Yeah,
but you know, like, that's Homer. He wants to party and be, if anything, he's just a little too old to party with the spring break kids in this.
Well, I think you see how they react to him. He doesn't exactly get a warm welcome. He doesn't fit in. He just seems to be tolerated by the spring breakers.
Right, but it kind of goes over his head and he's just going.
Yeah, he
for
doesn't get it at all. He still thinks he's really cool, and he is, but I was thinking about, like, imagine being the age we are now at a spring break filled with college students.
Yeah.
They would worship us, dude.
I know, right? I would fit right in. You kidding me, man? I'm like a silver fox with biceps, dude.
Dude, well, that's why I bleached my hair, so I can appeal to the younger generation.
You know, the thing is, it's like, yeah, it's like that. You know, I like to talk to people sometimes, and it is, that's exactly what I meant. Like, I got nothing for you. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't want to talk about The Simpsons or Tool or Fish.
Oh, yeah. What are you into, man? I mean, I'll try and relate, but it sounds lame.
Yeah. Like, you want to talk about, I don't know, like, jazz drummers?
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite jazz drummer?
Who is my favorite jazz drummer? Meg White.
Ding, ding, ding. That's correct. No. 100 points.
All right. You want to know? Well, when you ask someone their favorite jazz drummer, that's like, you know.
Ask somebody what their favorite butterfly is.
Like.
It's a monarch.
I guess if you ask me, like, who my favorite, like, drummer of all time, it'd probably be like John Bonham still.
All right. But jazz category.
So to that degree. Considering that John Bonham
was your favorite,
because he's like the godfather, like, who created, man, because there are so many guys that were just like creating things and like creating new things, you know, starting from like the 20s into the 60s. And now you got guys that are, you know, turning the music on its head even more. But I would say probably all in all, Elvin Jones, who has played with like everybody. There was something about his playing. And when I play along to jazz recordings, I kind of vibe with his stuff the most, especially the stuff he did with Wayne Shorter.
All right.
I mean, you know, I could go on for days.
And you could name several other drummers I've never heard of.
There's Papa Joe Jones that I think, you know, every drummer needs to go check him out on YouTube. Just like such an entertainer. And like just the, it's all right there in front of you. And it's very simple and it's very cool.
That's great, man. We'll check it out, dude. You know, jazz music is a lot like The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Why? Because hundreds of millions of people all across the world just worship it.
Yeah.
And wear it on t-shirts.
Yeah.
Why? Because a bunch of fucking, I don't know, fucking, I don't even know who decided. This is what we're going to teach all the kids in school.
How does it make you feel hearing that a lot of the writers and people who worked on the show were like Harvard kids?
Right. There is a lot about this show. You know, it's very, it is like kind of a pretty white thing. You and I are white.
I'm Caucasian.
You know, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're probably white too.
Hey man, I'm not making that assumption. I've got cool friends who listen to this show.
Yeah, no.
But odds are you're probably white. Yeah, I get that too, man. But hopefully not.
Right. You know, school's cool. I went to a pretty prestigious school. I didn't necessarily get along with anyone that I went to school with. And I don't necessarily get along with anyone that thinks that school is, you know, the bee's knees.
Well, you know, I went to Yale.
Yeah.
Once to smoke weed on their campus after a concert.
I mean, I know dudes that went to Harvard and Brown and whatever, and I know dudes that they're like just super fratty and bro-y.
Yeah,
well, they grew up in Connecticut or, you know, Boston or something. I don't know, just that whole scene in general, you know, just like rich suburban kids.
Right.
To a degree, you know, I grew up in the suburbs and, you know, the Salgo family does all right, you know. But it's just like a totally different beast. It's not even necessarily a class thing. It's just like
they didn't get the Beastie Boys out there.
No, they did. They got it all. But it's just like, I don't know. Too much exclusivity in a scene. First, it's getting into the school. Then it's getting into the frat in the school. And like everything's an inside joke with these guys. They think that they're so fucking clever and smart. And then they're like, oh yeah, like my dad like taught me like how to drink. Oh, let me show you this. It's just like, oh yeah.
See, it's funny because I'm thinking of like, well, in the comedy scene, usually people know not to tell people that they have rich parents. You know, it's not a thing that, you know, you gotta put out there. Well, so it speaks volumes about these people and the lifestyle.
Right. So, you know, but obviously, I wish there was a better way to measure intelligence, but I suppose everything.
We just have to ask you how many episodes of The Simpsons you've seen. And that's how we judge it. And Nick, who's your favorite?
Well, I think, you know, my issue isn't so much that it's like Harvard dudes. It's just like more that it's just like white dudes and not that many women have written for the show.
Right.
You know, and that like I kind of turn around and say like, oh, okay.
Especially in this early years, but this episode was directed by a woman.
Yeah.
So that's also a good reason to review this episode.
So
we're here at spring break at Eddie Green Terrace.
So this episode begins in Homer.
Hold on, we got to do the gag.
Oh.
The chalkboard gag says, I am not here on a fart ball scholarship.
I love the chalkboard.
Yeah, it's a pretty great start. And I don't know what fart ball is, but I bet I'd be damn good at it.
Yeah, right in what you think fart ball would be played.
Is it like,
I guess the football would just be filled with farts instead of air.
Yeah, or you try and fart in your hand and throw it at someone.
Instead of tackling people, you have to fart on them.
Well, you've heard of two-hand touch. What about two-cheek wind?
Yeah. So
the couch gag.
Couch gag is they're walking on hot coals to the couch. There's hot coals on the floor of the living room. I like this one. It looks cool.
Yeah, I've always wanted to walk on hot coals, man. But you know what? No hot coal has ever been brave enough to show their face around me.
So episode begins. Bart gives Homer the mail. He says that'll be $3 for on-couch delivery. Homer gives him $3. Bart says, this isn't real money. It's printed by the Montana militia. And Homer says, it'll be real soon enough. I mean, Homer will go from being like super liberal to super conservative and like believing in like conspiracy theories and all this stuff. He's a good American.
He's gullible. Yeah. He'll buy whatever someone tells him as long as he believes it's good for him.
Right.
Bart delivers Homer's self-test monthly, and it features the quizzes, are you a good driver? Are you a good lover? How smart are you? And do you have ESP? Homer says, finally, I get to find out what makes me tick.
Bart says, I'm betting it's hunger and rage.
Yeah, but in what percentage? Right?
But in what ratio?
In what ratio?
Are you a good driver?
Yes. Yes.
Are you a good lover? Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm doing great. Then Lisa walks by and says, like, Dad, those are just the names of the quizzes.
She says, you're supposed to open the magazine.
Homer says, my way is easier.
And she tells him, well, why don't you just be the quiz master and ask other people the questions? He's like, quiz master. Yes, that'll entertain me for a bit.
That'll entertain me briefly.
Yeah. So next.
So then we see Homer. He is dressed as the quiz master. He's wearing his purple robe. And
on his head.
And he has a traffic cone on his head.
With a question mark written on it. And you see him over at Flanders' house. Flanders is his house. He gives Flanders the sex test. And then Flanders says, well, it's a little insensitive giving me a sex test, seeing that my wife just passed away.
Homer says, no way. When?
6 months ago.
You were at the funeral.
You fell into the grave.
Homer says, oh, yeah, I saw a gopher. What a day.
I still can't believe they killed Flanders' wife.
It's very odd.
Yeah, and we talk about how the show does reset. This is one of the things that after they do that, they really never brought her back.
Yeah, but I think it was a cool move. I remember, like, leading up to that episode, they were like, someone in Springfield that you know and love is going to die and never come back. Like, leading up to that episode.
They knew they had to ratchet up the stakes.
They're like, yeah, like, what can we do to keep people watching The Simpsons? Because we've already done 10 seasons.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I think, I would just say it's ballsy. So that, I can't believe the fact they kill his wife and stick with it. Next, we're at the power plant, and Homer's giving Lenny and Carl a test. He asks them, who's their favorite Backstreet Boy? He says, well, according to this, you're both idiots. So I guess it was the how smart are you test. One of the questions is, who's your favorite Backstreet Boy? If you have a favorite Backstreet Boy, what's that say about your intelligence?
I think Lenny says his favorite Backstreet Boy is Nick.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks, Lenny.
Now we're back in the Simpsons bedroom, and Homer's asking Marge questions, and she says it's 2 a.m.
Yeah, and Homer's just still doing these quizzes.
He says he'll take the next one himself. How long will you live? And there's a question about how many...
In an average week, how many braised ribs do you eat? Marge, do you think that counts honey braised?
I don't know. I'm trying to sleep.
Okay, non-smoker at 8 years. So according to this, I'll live to be 42.
Oh, that's horrible. I won't even live to see my children die. And I like that it cuts ahead in time here, and he has an empty bucket of ribs beside him.
Right. Yeah, that's cute. And he's still got the cone on his head in bed.
Marge takes a look at the magazine, says maybe he added up the...
Right, I like how Marge...
And then she reacts when she tallies it up.
She's concerned. She's like, I mean, maybe you added it wrong. And then, see, these quizzes are never wrong, Marge. They're put together by the finest scientists in the magazine business.
So Homer goes downstairs to watch TV. He can't sleep. And on TV, Charlie Rose is interviewing Robert Evans. And they're talking about different movies that Robert Evans has produced. And then each of them will say, like, turn to the camera and say, I'm going to kill you, Homer. And the other one says, kill Homer Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer's screaming at the TV. And the kids and Marge come tumbling down the stairs and, you know, ask what all the screaming's about.
Yeah, Homer's just clearly gone mad. He's going crazy. And then we see him.
Burns is walking around the power plant with the inspector.
Yeah, I guess like a safety inspector.
Yeah, he's a government safety inspector, I suppose. And he says he doesn't find a single violation or employee acting strangely. Then Homer runs around the corner and he's half naked in a sleeping bag. All right, this is pretty good. And he says, I don't even trust these cowboys. And he's like, I'm going to die. He's like, death's after me.
And his cowboy's on his sleeping bag.
Yeah, he's that little cowboy. And then Mr. Burns says he doesn't work here. He's just a harmless maniac here to remind us of the precious gift of sanity.
Right.
Homer, I guess, is he's still at the power plant because we see the big, what would you call those things?
The silo?
The silos.
Is that what it is? The reactors?
The reactor.
Core?
Mm-hmm. Those two things at the...
The stacks?
Yeah, the things that all the smoke comes out of.
Oh, my God.
We see that in the background.
Yeah, because he goes to the power plant psychiatrist, and I guess he works on site.
Right.
And the psychiatrist...
The psychiatrist says, "You hate your father, don't you?" Homer says, "Sometimes, but the guy I really hate is your father." And then the psychiatrist says, "I shouldn't have brought that up. I was just venting. Anywho, I think your fear of death is causing your insomnia, which is provoking your erratic behavior. So what you need is a good long rest. I suggest Florida."
Florida, but that's America's wang.
They prefer the Sunshine State. So family is in the car on their way to Florida. Marge is driving. Is it Florida or Florida?
Florida. Palm Corners, Florida. Marge is driving, which you don't see, and she's telling the kids to be quiet.
You see Marge drive. This is Marge's car that they're driving, too. It's the red one, not the pink one that Homer drives.
Right.
Think about it.
Whoa. And Marge is telling Bartley's to be quiet because they know Homer had a breakdown. And they pull into Palm Corners, Florida, and on the town sign, you see a gator holding a pillow.
That's pretty great.
And as they pull into the downtown area, they see college kids overtake the street and screaming, "Spring break!"
Mm-hmm.
Girl pushes her boobs up on the windows.
So this relaxing vacation that the Simpsons were going to take, not relaxing at all.
Just got flip turned upside
spring
down.
Spring break. And this is a really fun... Homer gets out of the car and flips over the car with his wife and kids in it with all the spring breakers. He helps them flip the car over. And then Marge saying, "This is terrible. The whole point of coming down here was for you to get some rest." They're up on their hotel balcony, and the guys downstairs yell to Marge, "Show us your boobs." And she says, "Not now."
Yeah.
And it's the Royal, the hotel that they're staying at is called the Royal Fart Inn, and a bunch of dudes run up to the sign and change it to the Royal Frat Inn, which is kind of a funny, silly little Simpsons.
Yeah, they'd love
joke.
Those little letter jokes where they can rearrange things.
The alliteration and just word play on The Simpsons has greatly inspired me.
As a Ritter.
Yeah. You know, I think to find those little jokes and bring them to life in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in
animation.
When you're
texting a friend or you're, you know, making
jokes.
Oh,
man. If you don't have at least 5 friends that you can text a stupid little thing to, just like, "Oh, I just had like a, check out this horrible, stupid joke I just came up with." And they'll be like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst thing they could just say is it's not your best work. You know, and that's like, like, all right, I'll come back with, but you know, every
and
now
that's
and then
what a true friend is for, you know. Yeah. And if you don't have at least 5 of those, you can send us $30 a month and we'll respond.
If
to
your friend
texts.
Isn't constantly trying to make you laugh, if your friend is constantly trying to tell you that life sucks,
they're
get
not
rid
your
of
friend.
That friend.
Yeah, dude, get them out of there.
They're not a friend to themselves.
If a dude don't love it himself, man, how are you supposed to love you, bro?
I just like don't understand it, man. Like, I do.
And I do not.
I do and I don't. I mean, dude, lately I've been having like lots of, like, I don't even need
trepidations.
Not trepidation. Just like, I don't even need to like make like a ritual of it. Just like lots of gratitude. I'll like just stop and think about like something that's funny and just like start cracking myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that laugh comes out of like, you know what? Things are pretty good right now, and I'll just have a big laugh about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that everyone can kind of reach that point. Or actually, no, because sometimes I'll be thinking about how stressed out I am, too. It's like, oh, shit, like, what if this doesn't work out, you know?
Yeah.
And then I laugh about that, too, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God, like, my life is just ridiculous, huh?
Well, we hope we can get to a place where you can relax, you know? You deserve to. Hey, man, don't, you know what? Like, it's going to be okay, or it won't. It might not be, dude, but it's probably going to be.
You know.
But it definitely won't work out if you don't think it will.
It's tough.
If you think it's not going to work out, it won't.
It's tough for me to say because, like, I'm not one of those people that works, like, two jobs and, like, does a bunch of just constantly doing things that they don't want to do.
Yeah. But, I mean, thank God that I don't have, you know, children to feed.
Right. But, like, you know, to find that time to, like, unwind or at least to just be like, you know what? I have the time to do these things. Because, like, a lot of the time it's just, like, even on days where, like, you know, you could call it like a pretty light day or something. It's still hard to get to everything that you want to do outside of all the things that you already have to do.
You know? You get everything for yourself and your job and your family, your brain and your body and your house. Life gets so complicated sometimes. But if you can't just step back and laugh, you're fucked.
Right.
It also provides a little bit of perspective. You know, when you can laugh at yourself.
Right.
It kind of makes you take a step back and be like, oh, I'm acting really silly right now.
Well, and, you know,
or this is a ridiculous thing that happened to me and I can appreciate the random.
Bringing it back to like Homer, you know, he's slaving away at the power plant all the time and he doesn't necessarily enjoy his job. Not very good at it. But here he gets to come to Florida and relax a little bit.
Yeah, he's doing pretty fine, man. I think that's the thing. But that's a lot of people.
It's like it's his mind, though, because some people choose to say,
that's the good stuff.
When you ask them, like, oh, so what, like, I could ask you, like, what have you been up to lately? And someone could say, well, like, I'm working two jobs. Yeah. I'm in school. Got a kid on the way. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could say, like, oh, my God, I am so stressed out right now. I, like, have no time for anyone. Everything sucks, you know.
Yeah, again, it's all about perspective. It's the same thing.
You know, yeah, it's just like, or, you know, you could be stressed out about it and say, like, you know what, things are, like, pretty stressful now, but I'm in school, and I'm, like, and once that's over, I'm going to open up a bunch of doors for myself, mm-hmm. and I'm doing the things that I want to do, you know, or something like
that. That's right, man. So wherever you're at, if you're not happy with where you're at, you got to be able to step back and laugh, and you got to be able to, like, realize it's not going to be forever. That's the thing. That part of your brain isn't developed when you're young. The part of you that can make plans for the future or kind of see ahead.
Yeah, there's always that part of me, you know, it's just like, oh, my God, I'm focusing too much on my job or I don't have enough time for this or that. And then I'll take a step back and be like, well, I'm supporting myself and I'm still picking away at my goals and I'm not throwing in the towel. At all. The only way that I'm actually going to throw in the towel is if I choose to.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Everything comes in seasons, you know? Like, there might be a busy season where you're feeling like everything's going right for you. You're up, up, up in every area you want to thrive in. And then a little later, you might have, like, a less active period. And you feel like you stop making progress or you feel like you've halted. But that's just, like, really short-sighted. Well, you know, because you're still learning, you're still getting better.
Yeah.
And you got to believe that your best work is ahead of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was actually thinking about this today, too. I was listening to Tool. And I was like, man, it sucks that, like, I'll never be this good. And then I, like, realized, I stopped myself. I said, wait, it's awesome that I get to experience music that's this good. And I get to experience this inspiration from it. And if I could create, if I could somehow convey with my own music, like 1% of the awesomeness that I'm getting from this, it'll all be worth it.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, perspective is everything. And I think Homer, especially in this episode, we see a lot of perspective here. So, and this is the scene that we're getting to, is they tie Homer up to the bed in the hotel room.
Marge is going to take the kids out sightseeing. And he says, I promise I won't leave this bed. And she says, I trust you. And then we pan out and see that she's tying the knot and Homer's on the bed.
With like ropes.
And they leave like a do not disturb sign on the door.
I really love this little segment here. When Homer just
busts out of the hotel
and he's jumping up and down. He's upright with the still tied up
still
to the bed,
to the
standing
bed.
Up upright on the bed,
comes
jumping,
out.
Going party, party as he jumps and he's trying to hitch a ride to spring break.
And then you see on the back of the...
He flips the bed around, and on the back it says beach.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a joke in and of itself. And then we see Homer on the bed tied to the roof of the van that picked him up, and he goes, "Now this is living."
Dude, that's the thing. When Homer applies himself, his will, like, again, he can just do what he can do anything.
But, like, here's the thing is, again, if you're tied to a bed, tied to the roof of a van, you could say, "Man, this really sucks that I'm tied to this bed and tied to the roof of a van." Or you could say, "Now this is living. Which, Homer Simpson, thank you for being born. We needed you.
Yeah. Whew. Homer makes it to the beach, and it's pretty much MTV spring break. You know, there's a VJ there, and she turns 25, and she's removed, and they replace her with another younger host.
Yeah, like a ding goes off on her. Which doesn't make any sense, because you would obviously turn whatever age you are at midnight, you know?
Yeah, it's funny that it's in the middle of the afternoon.
It's like a pretty
funny
joke.
But for the joke, they didn't want anyone over that age on the channel. We see a Duff Beer Zeppelin in the sky. Then Josie takes the stage. Homer's like, "Oh, it's a lost child. Don't worry, I'll tackle him." Josie brings out the guest of honor. Sir Kid Rock.
Yeah, I guess he was still palatable when this episode came out 22 years ago.
The year 2000 was a different time. He sings "Bah Wit Da Bah," his huge song, and Homer's in the crowd. "Bah Wit Da Bah, banana, fana, ooga, chuga, fala, fulang, unga, pong, tea, madanga, unga."
Yeah, that part's really funny. Honestly, when I listen to this song, I actually think of this scene. Because I think this is like the first time that I ever like heard a Kid Rock.
Yeah.
I was very weary as a little kid to not fall into trends. I remember like everyone in my class was like into like Backstreet Boys, including the dudes. And I was like, no way. Like, I know that who the cool bands are. It's like, you know, Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Metallica. You know? Not this shit. And then when Kid Rock came out, it was the same thing.
Really? I remember being a kid and... I don't know. I had an older brother, so I heard, you know, like Kid Rock and the Biscuit and all that shit.
Right. Well, you had an older brother in South Carolina. I had an older brother in Brooklyn, New York. I guess my older brother was a little older than yours, too.
You know, he put me under Rage Against the Machine and System of a Down and some other stuff, but yeah. I think he had a Pearl Jam CD, too.
Yeah, I just kind of... I just remember... I don't know if I would, like, go to Joe, like, "Joe, is this cool?"
But you just see what he's into and what he says just, sucks. And
I remember just being like, "Oh," just knowing, like, this isn't as cool as Metallica.
Oh, yeah, Metallica was the coolest.
And to a degree, they're not the coolest anymore.
I know. But, I mean, I'd still go see him.
Oh, man. One of the best concerts of my life was Metallica at Bonnaroo in 2008.
Wait, what?
Almost 20 years ago.
You still haven't seen a better concert?
Oh, man, it was so funny. At one point, the band was just kind of taken aback by... Well, first they played like all the classics, nothing from after the Black Album.
Sick.
They were just kind of taken aback by all the hippie dancing in the field, because they're used to people kind of like going a little more crazy at their shows.
Right.
You could tell that they were kind of like getting a little psyched out by it. At one point, James Hetfield is like, "All right, Bonnaroo, how many of you are at your first Metallica concert?" And everyone like raises their hand like, "Me."
Yeah.
He's like, "Well, let me tell you something about Metallica." He's just, like, trying to like, he's like, we're like, "We've liked to rock hard."
Yeah.
They were playing.
"We like to rock hard."
Like Injustice for All. Just like, "What's the name of the song, Bonnaroo?" I was like, "I don't know, what is the name of this song?" Oh, yeah, it was just, like, funny to, like, watch them kind of, like, they're playing to, like, this big crowd, but they're still kind of like, "What's going on over here?"
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah, but playing, like, the best set list they've played in 20 years, man.
Well, they know they got to win people over, I guess. They're probably, again, knowing that it's going to be a crowd of people who've never seen them before, who want to hear all the hits.
Yeah.
The Simpson family, Marge, Bart, and Lisa, are on an airboat ride with a tour guide, and they meet the town's most famous gator, Captain Jack. Get you hiding there. The guide tells them he helped build Palm Corners by dragging sticks and stones from the swamps, and legend has it he designed the town flag. And he points to a flag that's red and blue and tattered and patched up on the boat.
Great Florida joke.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the Kid Rock concert.
Kid Rock introduced himself as the pimp of the nation.
And then we see they're going to pour out a 40-gallon.
40.
40.
Of malt liquor.
Of malt liquor onto. There's like a piece of curb. That
yeah, there's like a fake curb that they brought over.
To the fallen, y'all. And Homer gets on stage and starts drinking the 40-gallon beer. It says, all for Homer. Yeah.
And Kid Rock says, yo, let's waste this biatch.
And Homer says, biatch? Moi? And then he shakes up the beer, the giant beer, and sprays it at them. Gets in front of the crowd and he goes, we built this city. Built this city on rock and roll.
And then Kid Rock has these guys grab Josie's sleeves and they start pulling him out like they're going to fling Josie at Homer. And the sheriff steps in and stops them. He says, that's not like you, Kid Rock. And Josie, would your mama want you stretching out that sweatshirt like that?
No,
like, no. Then we see Homer stumbling back into the hotel room and he's with the sheriff. Marge is like, where were you? And he's like, guess how many boobs I saw today, Marge? 15. The sheriff says he was just blowing off steam. He's kind of free to go.
Yeah, boys will be boys is what he says, right? And then Homer wakes up on the couch the next morning.
And his insomnia is cured.
And his insomnia is cured and he's ready for more spring break. He takes off his shirt, runs outside. But all the students are leaving.
The town's clean and nice again, and they're packing up to head out of town. And Homer's like, fine, be nerds. I'll find some people who know the true meaning of the words, partay.
And then they're on this boat again in the swamp. Louie Louie is playing.
There's a little There's a little banner on the side that says Spring Break Forever. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. And then Homer's singing, we built this city, this kick-ass city. And then he goes up to Lisa and says, what kind of music built this city? Lisa gives him a very unenthusiastic rock and roll. Bart says, Dad, look out. He's like, look out for what? And Bart says, the giant gator.
Yeah.
And then this is the giant. Oh, and then they run over Captain Jack.
Yeah, you see his eyes get really big as they hit him. And
I feel like this probably is a part that people didn't like.
It's pretty zany. Oh, they don't like animal violence?
Yeah, I don't like when animals get killed on television and movies. It's like,
I know.
Not really nice.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's barely funny when people get hurt.
I mean, I follow a few fail accounts on my Insta. It's pretty funny.
I mean, did we not grow up watching Dad get hit in the nuts on America's Funniest Home Videos?
Oh, man, don't bring it up, man. Too soon.
I know.
R.I.P. America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, that show is over now. So, what are we talking about here? The family has the airboat. And
so
then
the sheriff pulls up. He sees that they killed Captain Jack. Then he arrests the Simpson family.
Well, Homer gets bitten up by turtles.
Yeah, Homer tries to escape. He jumps in the water. And then we hear, like, it's like a really funny, like, the, like, the, I don't know, when, like, a little fish bites someone in a cartoon, like, I don't know. It's a really funny sound.
Yeah.
I like the sound a lot.
The sheriff's putting handcuffs on the whole family. The cuffs fall off of Maggie and he's
like, do you really have to handcuff the children? He says, no, ma'am, I did not. So the voice of the sheriff is Diedrich Bader. For anyone who isn't so sure who Diedrich Bader is, he's in the movie Office Space. He plays, what's his neighbor's name?
I don't remember.
But he's the guy from Office Space who goes, when he asks him, what would you do with $1 million? He says, I'll tell you what I'd do, man.
Yeah.
Two chicks at the same time.
He was also known for being on the Drew Carey Show at the time.
Yeah, he's been in a few things.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, he's a fun actor.
Yeah, he's a fun character actor.
Went to North Carolina School of the Arts.
Oh, how about that? Good for him.
Mm-hmm. So he does. As did Danny McBride.
Yeah, so he does a good Southern accent here. You know, it's authentic. Mm-hmm. He goes to the courthouse to get baby cuffs.
And then Homer says, look, and there's the keys hanging on a nail. Yeah. He goes, this is our chance. And he just breaks his cuffs on the nail instead of
taking the keys. And then, like, Homer, you can't drive. You don't. Well, he has your license.
They get in the car, and Lisa says, you can't drive, Dad. He's got your license. And Homer says, I'm going to try anyway. And he turns on the engine, and he says, it worked. It's a miracle. So, again, Homer, super gullible.
Gullible. Earlier, the sheriff said, you see, during spring break, the beer companies pay me to look the other way. The rest of the year, I'm a real hard ass.
Right.
And then when he walks out of the courthouse, he sees they've gone. He throws his hat at the ground. It bounces and lands back on his head.
And he says, now, why does that only happen when no one's looking?
And now
we have a big chase.
They're getting shot at.
Yeah, he's shooting at Homer.
Well, hey, that also, we had a car chase with someone shooting at Homer.
The last episode.
Yes, the last episode.
Beer Baron, yeah. Homer is also in a chase, and they just clear a train, and mm-hmm. they get to the other side, and they stop, and go, and then another train just hits them head on. They get T-boned by a train, just kind of keep going down the tracks with this train, just kind of dragging them.
Yeah, Homer's like, the only thing to do now is try and get some sleep.
Sit tight and try and get some sleep.
And they all actually go to sleep.
They all fall asleep.
And it's the next morning, Homer's coming back in with coffee.
And like some sandwiches, it looks like. And he says, rise and shine, everybody. Marge says, you went to the snack car? Says, yeah, but first I talked to the engineer. He said there's a procedure for dealing with events of this nature. And then we just see the train conductor
has a giant stick.
Giant metal pole, and he just wedges the Simpsons car off. And
they spin out down a hill and mm-hmm. land upside down in a ditch.
Homer says, okay, now am I the only one on fire? Good. And he gets out and rolls around, puts out the fire.
And then they come upon the diner where they say it looks like the perfect spot to hide out. There's a sign in the window, cook wanted, then another waitress wanted, then another broom boy wanted, and another mop girl wanted, and they each take the signs. And they go in, and they talk to Velma, who runs the diner, and she hires them all on the spot. She's like, hey, why do you want to work as a broom boy? He's like, I've always wanted to work as a broom boy. She's like, I like your attitude. You're mm-hmm. hired. Right. And he asks Marge, she asks Lisa if she's ever wanted to work as a mop girl. And she says, no, not really. And she's like, I like your honesty. You're honest. I like that.
And you two haven't said a word. I like that.
I like that, yeah.
So she's the one, she likes anything, no matter what. And she's pretty cool hiring them. And
lets them stay in
the... We see the guys at the counter. Marge has the coffee. She says, can I top you off, hon? No, thanks. And then Homer walks over and says, more hash brown sugar. No, I'm good.
And Marge has a little apron on. Her hair's up. She's like in her little waitress outfit. She's got a pencil sticking out of her hair.
We forgot to mention that Marge has had vacation clothes on.
Yeah. Episode. Yeah. You know what we got to say? Marge is a cutie.
Yeah, whenever.
Yeah, especially, yeah, when they put her in the other outfits. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Homer stays in his clothes.
Man. Homer does, and even though we see the kids in alternate outfits and when they're on the airboat. So they, Velma lets them stay in the trailer out back behind the diner, and she says, it ain't Buckingham Palace, but I raised 8 youngins, 3 chillins, and a baby here. And it's, they peek inside, and it's got the same corn cob curtains that they have in their kitchen.
Yeah.
In the diner, Velma hears on the radio that the cops are looking for them, and she says, it's all right, they can lay low there. It's not even clear how much time has passed, but we see the family all out on the porch late at night. Bart's whittling and
Homer's playing guitar.
Yeah, and I think Marge has Maggie, and is Lisa fanning herself? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
They're all in their little different clothes, dressed up. They're hillbillies.
Lisa's got like straw in her mouth.
That's right. And Bart says, teacher says I'm whittling at a 10th grade level.
Mm-hmm.
And Marge says, oh, and you guys never bicker anymore. Ever
bicker anymore.
Too hot to bicker, I reckon. Ultimately, Homer ends up saying, you know, killing that gator was the best decision I ever made.
Got that right. Darn tootin', boy, howdy.
Yeah, I love that run at the end. Next, they're all sleeping in one bed together in the little trailer. And the sheriff is stealing the trailer. He's just hooked it up and he says he'll have him to jail by supper time.
Right. Oh, so she says, hey, you're stealing my trailer. I like that. And then they're at the courthouse. Well, yeah. First up is the state of Florida versus the Simpson
family.
It's
the Six Toe County Courthouse.
And Homer says, your honor, I'd like to represent myself. And he starts, drunken hicks of the jury. Then we just cut to them on chain gang.
Yeah. They're doing forced labor. And the guy keeps saying, no talking. And he's whipping them.
Well, Marge says, you know, we'd be much better rock breakers if we weren't all chained together. And he says, no talking, and whips Marge. And she says, you know, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. He whips her again. She says, I'm beginning to dislike the man with the whip. And then Diedrich Bader, the sheriff, pulls up. He says, afternoon, folks. Got a new assignment for you. Judge is having a little soiree, and he needs some help. And then Homer gets whipped, and he says, ow. The guy says,
no listening.
He says, you hear me? You hear me? Homer says, no, you just don't learn, do you? And whips Homer again. One of the best jokes in the whole episode. Yeah.
Next, the family's back at the courthouse. They're all in their chain gang uniforms and doing catering and service at this party. And someone comes up to Homer and is like, the jazz pianist didn't show up.
Homer sits down at the piano. Yeah. Starts playing. He doesn't know how to play piano. It sounds terrible.
But then he gets whipped.
And then he gets whipped, and then he starts playing like a beautiful piano, jazz piano.
Yeah, it's
funny little joke. Marge, Bart, and Lisa are scheming to get the keys off of the sheriff so that they can break free and run away.
Yeah.
And Lisa says, "What should I do?" She says, "Restock the possum bar.
We're almost out of claws."
So it's weird. We're almost out of claws. This was 2000.
I know. We gotta.
Simpsons way ahead of its time.
And then they make a break for it. Marge, Lisa, and Bart are getting away, and Homer's still trapped. He ends up making it rid of them. And how does the fire start?
Oh, so the guy whips like a lantern.
Oh, and it falls
and
over.
It falls over, and then it creates a ring of fire around them, and they're like, oh, and then they. Like, and then their faces turn to like very impressed, and they start clapping like, hey.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's like a nice lasso trick.
And then we see
all of a sudden, Captain Jack pops back up, and we're like, oh, well, it looks like our beloved Captain Jack isn't dead after all.
He walks out of City Hall, which I guess Justin, you were just explaining to me.
Yeah. So one thing I learned about this episode, they say it's one of the worst episodes because the plot's kind of all over the place. And I think there's a deleted scene that also helps clear the plot up. Apparently, the episode was too long and they had to cut it down to fit on television. So there was a deleted scene where they held a funeral for Captain Jack at the courthouse. And we saw Kid Rock there and the other Florida characters. And that's why it makes sense that the gator comes from the courthouse at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah. So... plot hole or editing?
So then we... Simpsons are free to go.
And they say...
But they're not welcome. They're not to set foot in the state of Florida ever again.
Before, yeah, they say, I guess you folks just stunned him. And he's like, that's what we've been trying to tell you.
So but the judge comes out and says, they're free to go, but they can't come back to Florida ever again. They say... fine. There are plenty of other states that are happy to have us.
Arizona. Oh, we cut to a map.
We cut to the Simpsons in their living room with the map of the North America and pretty much every state is X'd off. Well, we're still welcome in North Dakota and Arizona. Homer says, Arizona smells funny, and Marge X's it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Homie. Yeah, and then there's kind of a lame joke here at the end where, you know, they doesn't want to go to Arizona because it smells. And they're like, North Dakota. And Bart's like, oh, I've always wanted to see Mount Rushmore. And then they're like, that's in South Dakota.
And then he says, oh, and that's in it.
Yeah, and
it's funny. I'm looking at this the Frinkiac over here for the credits,
mm-hmm.
and it's the lyrics to Ba Wa Da Ba. But for a second, I thought it was Ba Wa Da Ba Da Dinga Bi Da Diga 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 Ba Wa Da Ba Da Dinga Diga 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 Diga.
Yeah,
I thought, and I was like, oh, that's how the Simpsons theme goes.
Ba Wa Da Ba Da Diga. What an episode. Oh, so Homer catches fire.
Yeah.
In this, as well as the last episode as well. Did we mention that?
No, but we mentioned that he's in a shootout with the cops.
Yeah, so just
shootout
another connection.
With the cops, gets caught on fire.
He gets shot out again. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always pretty neat to pick the threads between episodes because a lot of jokes repeat, a lot of themes repeat.
You know, it just makes it clear that there's a world that they've put together. And that it's coming from the same minds of these writers. It's still like what they think is funny is exemplified through the types of jokes that they do and then the things they call back to or just make a similar joke. You wouldn't notice those as much if you just watched it front to back because we're just picking random episodes. We end up finding these threads that link ones from completely different seasons.
Yeah, season 11, episode 19. You want to get into your rating for the...
Okay.
So every week we review the episode at a rating of 1 to 5 donuts. We don't necessarily believe that there is really a bad episode of The Simpsons to watch or have on in the background while you're hanging out.
The scale's 1 to 5, and we also give it a flavor of the donut just to give our personal flavor for what we liked about the episode. Or what we took from it. Or what it reminded us of. I remember when this episode aired. I remember when it came out as well. I think at the time I probably appreciated the Kid Rock cameo more.
Mm-hmm. But you actually like Kid Rock.
Oh man, he's an American badass. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't really.
Was like also 10 when this episode was out. So
yeah.
It's pretty cool. And it is kind of a disjointed episode. A lot happens. It's really all over the place. It's pretty wacky. You'll probably say this. It's not really a grounded episode. Not that we need it to be. But there is some good jokes in it. And I like that Kid Rock shows up and makes fun of himself. Lets himself kind of be... He's in on the joke. Diedrich Bader is great as the sheriff. We get to see the family thrown into a bunch of different scenarios. I don't think it's... one of the worst episodes of all time, as some would say. I'm like, do people just really hate Kid Rock that much? Because we say there's no bad episodes, I don't think this is a bad score at all. I'm going to say 3 donuts.
Yeah. Okay. What kind of donuts?
So they're orange donuts for Florida.
Like orange the fruit?
Yeah.
How would an orange donut, what would that be?
Well, you know, I guess like you bite into it and it's got like a orange marmalade.
But like with the, what kind of donut are we talking here? It's like a Krispy Kreme donut or more like an apple cider donut?
No, it's like a Krispy Kreme. I'm thinking, you know, just soft and.
Got like the topping on top. Like yeah, it's just like a regular donut because like there's donuts with like the flavor baked into it.
Mm-hmm. No,
and
no,
then
no.
There's ones that are just like it's like a regular donut and it's got the.
Well, it's like
on
a jelly filled donut,
like a Dunkin' donut,
like a Dunkin' jelly filled style.
With but orange.
Yeah.
Orange.
Orange.
Orange you...
orange jam.
Sounds pretty good.
And like I said, I don't think that's a bad score. You know, you might hear 3 and take that's not very high. And it's not, but it's pretty good. It's right there down in the middle as far as episodes go.
Yeah, dude.
And that's all I have to say. But well, so there you have it, man.
And it takes place in the fine state of Florida.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say ditto to everything that you just said there.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of talked about this while we were watching the episode. It feels like a movie, and mm-hmm. they said that they had to shave down the script to make it more like a movie.
Well, just to
more like the show.
Yeah, for the time constraint to fit it into the 22-minute slot. Usually, sometimes, that's when they'll shorten the theme song. Sometimes they'll skip, and it's...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of closer to the...
it just goes straight to the couch gag.
Right. They didn't do that on this one, which is interesting. But I guess just with the way the length of the scenes worked out, they end up keeping the whole theme song.
Yeah, I kind of wish that we saw the alligator funeral to know... Because that always for me in this episode is like, what's the alligator doing coming out of the town hall? Shouldn't he be coming from
and
the street?
That made me appreciate the episode more here reading about that. So if you have a season 11 DVD, let us know if that scene is on there or where we can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
So said three. You're going to give it a three?
Hey, man.
Sorry.
I wasn't dittoing your score.
Oh, dittoing my thoughts.
I was dittoing your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think that it's a bit of a lazy script. Some pretty good jokes. The whipping joke is like, this is a good episode to, if you want to watch The Simpsons, like, you're not going to sit there and just watch season four all fucking day. You got to bounce around, dude. Uh-huh. Like, you know, like.
And that's how you find the unique little threads.
Yeah, keep it fresh, you know. Just keep it bubbly and fresh, you know. So, yeah, three. I'm going to give it a three.
Okay. No, wow, dude, no way.
Yeah, three. Jägermeister flavored donuts, man.
For spring break.
For spring break, for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You guys really know how to do it down there.
Y'all know how to throw down, y'all.
Yeah. So, it would be like, same like you were talking about. It would be like, nah, I think some chocolate up top, but like it would be like a Boston cream donut.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Florida cream, you know, man?
Yeah.
So like, you know, there'd be Jaeger flavored cream in the middle of the donut. And I think that'd be fucking awesome, dude.
Hell yeah. Happy spring break, Nick.
Happy spring break, guys.
So that was Kill the Alligator and Run. I think it's time now, before we wrap up, we're going to turn to the Hetty Green Hotline.
Let's hear it.
All right. This is a new segment on the show. If you want to send us an email or give us a call for any questions.
Let's do it.
Comments. Our email address is HettyGreenTerrace@gmail.com. And the phone number for the Hetty Green Hotline is 516-939-4629. That's 516-939-4629. I think this week we have another call from our number one fan, Frank Zeta-Jones. Let's give it a rip.
All right.
Hey, this is Frank Zeta Jones again from Batesburg, Leesville. I just have one more question. Can y'all make like a Sims Planned Parenthood? Because my lady avatar done had a baby. And, I had to make her get a job and everything. You can imagine a lady having a job trying to slave away to make diapers for little babies with their pee-pee and their poo-poo and all that. But, none of the men want to get down with her no more on account of she's got a child. And she's a good looking lady. I made her have a big caboose on her too. I'm gonna change her job to a bread truck driver on account if she's had hauling a great set of buns there. Anyway. Oh, you guys give me a call back, let me know. All right. Frank Zeta Jones from Batesburg, Leesville. Bye bye.
Well, I'd say yes to all of those things except for the, you know, that one thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get behind all of that, but well, Frank Zeta Jones, you certainly said an earful. He called us last week and he tells us he is so happy that we're doing a podcast about The Sims. And this week, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, man.
But we're happy and, you know, we'll say yes to most of what you said. And we hope your old lady gets the diapers she's looking for.
Yeah, glad you're getting the help you need, brother.
Yeah. We're glad that this podcast provides something for you.
by listening to this. Wow. It's really that time, folks.
Yeah, we've come to the end of yet another episode of Hetty Green Terrace. Hey, man, don't worry. We'll be back soon.
Yeah, it's going to be all right.
As always, I've been Justin Thompson along with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Salgo.
What's up, guys? Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Nick, I got to go, man. I'll see you later, dude.
All right. I'm going to stay right here. All right. Just doing my thing. Just doing my thing.